Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome back to Hard Tack and Coffee. My name is Matthew Adams and today we'll be discussing Straight's Raid. Now, as any Civil War aficionado knows and seen the John Wayne picture, The Horse Soldiers, that's about Grierson's raid in the Mississippi to try to help Grant take Vicksburg. Well, at the exact same time as the successful Grierson's raid, there was also Straight's raid. A colonel by the name of Abel Straight of Indiana, who was a part of General Rosecrans' Army of the Cumberland in Tennessee, had submitted a plan for a long-range destructive raid into the heart of the Confederate states of Alabama and Georgia. Now, Straight served with Rosecrans and had seen action against Braxton Bragg and the Confederate Army of Tennessee, which Bragg was stationed right then at Tullahoma, Tennessee, a threat to Rosecrans' force. Straight had devised a plan to force Bragg out of Tennessee and possibly all the way back into Georgia near Atlanta. Well, his objectives were to destroy the Confederate arsenal in Rome, Georgia, and the Western Atlantic Railroad depot at Dalton, Georgia. The purposes of destroying these two facilities and any other obstacles, bridges, railroad lines, telegraph lines, anything of military necessity that could be destroyed, they were going to do. And the reason was that it would force Braxton Bragg to withdraw from Tullahoma, then back to Chattanooga, then possibly all the way back to Atlanta. And that would open the entire state of Tennessee up for General Rosecrans and stage and also an invasion of Georgia. Well, Straight submitted the plan to General Rosecrans, and he approved the mission. So, and this was also the exact same time of Grierson's plan for his raid in the Mississippi. So what they tried to do was try to get both plans to be worked at the exact same time, so that any Confederate forces that were sent to try to disrupt those raids would have to be split up into smaller forces and cause aggravation for the Confederates' cavalry and infantry trying to chase them. Well, Straight was an infantry commander, so he was to take four regiments of infantry and mount them for a raid through northern Alabama into Georgia, into the rugged, mountainous, hilly terrain of northern Alabama and Georgia. However, from the moment that the plan was approved, it was doomed to failure. Reason being because someone who is unknown to us historians now suggested to Rosecrans and Abel Straight to use mules instead of horses for the raid. He had devised a plan because he figured that mules would be more acclimated to climbing up mountains and hills and horses, and that could handle the stress of that long campaign. So Straight and Rosecrans approved the idea, saying that they, even though the mules would be a little bit slower, but they would not lose so many in trying to climb those mountains. And another problem arose with that. There was only roughly around 800 mules in Nashville, Tennessee at that time, and most of them were actually too sick to even be used for combat. So Straight would have to take mules from the local farms in Alabama to supply the remainder of his men. Now, he had hand-picked roughly about 1,400 men to go with him in four infantry regiments to be mounted. Now, from leading from Nashville, he was to ride to Tecumseh, Alabama, to link up with General Grenville Dodge to begin his raid. Dodge was to take Tecumseh and also other parts of northern Alabama to stage up for more raids into the heart of Alabama, while Straight would detach himself from it and head towards Georgia. Well, the Confederate cavalry was on to this very early on. A small Confederate cavalry force under Colonel P.D. Roddy slowed the advance of Dodge from trying to capture cities in Alabama. Well, during this time, Straight arrived with his force, and on the night of April 19, 1863, Strait's men were resting, and they had set up a temporary corral for the mules. Well, Roddy and his men stole the finest of the mules that they could get their hands on and stampeded the rest of the mules, which was a major problem because it took 2 days to round up only roughly about half of the 400 mules that Strait had come down from Nashville with. So Strait would now have to steal even more horses from the Confederate countryside in order to supplement the ones that he lost, plus to keep the ones and also remount the ones that he needed to be mounted to begin with. Now, when Roddy was causing headache and consternation in the Union forces, the Wizard of the Saddle, Nathan Bedford Forrest, arrived on the scene in northern Alabama, and his job was to stop this excursion into Alabama. Well, on April 26th, Strait broke off from General Dodge's command to begin riding east towards Georgia. Well, Forrest, seeing this, realized that this was a raid to destroy Confederate industry. So he started off with 1,200 men on a relentless chase. I mean, Forrest never let up on Strait. And every time Strait stopped, Forrest's men were there to combat them in small skirmishes and keep driving them forward. Now, during this time of the Confederate pursuit, a Union sympathizer offered his services to Strait and his men, and he wrote down the only known description of what was now called the Mule Brigade. And I quote, "Some of his men were on foot, some were on bareback, bony beasts that moved with difficulty, while others strove to maintain their seats on the compatriotic creatures that reared and ran, then halted and moved sideways and backwards without regard to spur or rein. Most of these men had to deal with mules that were hard-headed and not used to being rode and not used to having to be constantly moved. They were mainly just, most of these mules were used to pulling a wagon or a plow. They were not meant to be used for combat uses. So they stood their ground and did what they could. And Strait had to deal with this the entire time of his raid. It was not just a one-time occasion that he had to deal with ornery mules. It was the entire time. And I'm pretty sure during this time he had regretted listening to that man in Nashville and used horses instead. Now, Forrest's men were on finest southern horses that could be found, and they were much faster than the mules. Strait had no chance of outrunning Forrest because Forrest had fresh horses. Strait had mules. Most of them were unshotted. Most of them had only worked on farms and not gone very far distances. And Forrest was relentless in his pursuit. He actually ordered his men to shoot at anything blue and keep up the scare. And Forrest's old saying, keeping up the scare, constantly hitting them, and being on their rear so they have no chance of rest. Well, by May 3rd, Strait was nearing Rome, the arsenal at Rome, but Forrest had already sent couriers to Rome because he had already imagined Strait was heading toward the arsenals at Rome, so Confederate Home Guard was protecting Rome from the raiders. And Strait was pretty much caught between two forces, a Confederate Home Guard force at Rome and Forrest's men behind him, chasing them. Now, by this time, Forrest had detached some more of his men to other locations, so he had only about 600 men compared to Strait's 1,400 men. Well, Strait, knowing the condition of his men of being exhausted, his mules not fit up for any more campaigning, he asked Forrest to discuss terms of surrender. And Forrest did what a normal Civil War officer would have done, that they would be paroled until exchanged. Officers can keep their sidearms and personal baggage. Well, Forrest knew he had less men than Strait did, so what he would do is that he only had two cannon with him. He would take one cannon and position it somewhere, pull it back out, move it to another location and position it, and keep on doing it. Well, during the conversation, Strait was reported saying, "In the name of God, General Forrest, how many guns do you have? I have counted 15 so far." Forrest replied in a scene of battlefield theatrics, trying to play the bluff of having a much larger force, replied, "I reckon that's all that has kept up with his forces." Strait, believing that Forrest had a humongous force with large artillery, had no choice but to surrender his 1,400 men. Well, after he has officially surrendered, he found out that Forrest only had roughly 600 men and two artillery pieces. Strait was furious beyond any recorded instance, and he demanded Forrest to give back the weapons to his men so they can have a proper fight. Forrest, kind of laughingly, jokingly, refused, says, "Ah, Colonel, all's fair in love and war." So Forrest played the bluff and won the bluff. Pretty much he won the whole jackpot of capturing these men. Now, Strait's original targets of Rome and Dalton, Georgia, he did have a chance to visit those two cities. Strait's men arrived in Rome the next day, but not as destroyers, but as prisoners of war. And then they rode on the exact same railroad, the Western Atlantic, that was their target to destroy at Dalton. Now, Strait was sent to the Union officers' prisoner of war camp at the infamous Libby prison in Richmond, while the rest of his men were exchanged, because the exchange system was still in effect during this time. Now, this was not the last occurrence that Strait and Forrest had between each other. Strait somehow escaped from Libby prison during the Great Escape the next year, returned back to the Union lines, and became a general, and was in charge of a cavalry force under General George H. Thomas at Nashville during the infamous December Battle of Nashville, when Hood destroyed his army. Strait was in charge of the pursuit of the Confederate Army, and there again he met Forrest, the acting as the rear guard for the Confederate Army of Tennessee. However, this time Strait still could not outdo Forrest. Forrest was able to hold off Strait's attacks at all points and withdraw his men back from the disastrous Tennessee campaign. Now, looking at the Strait's raid, also known as the Mule Brigade, there's one thing you have to say about this. Never send a mule to do a horse's job. Now, if horses were used, it very well could have been that Rome, the arsenal, the Confederate arsenal at Rome would have been destroyed, railroad lines would have been cut, it would have been just as successful as the Grierson raid when they destroyed Newton Station in Mississippi. However, they had to use mules, and General Forrest, being on horses, was able to outdo them and keep up the pace. And Strait, I'm pretty sure, was highly embarrassed, and his men were highly embarrassed of having to ride mules and being outdone, as most occurrences in the Civil War, by Confederate cavalry. And Strait's raid is rarely talked about during the Civil War because it was a total failure from almost beginning to end, and it's an embarrassment to the United States Army of the magnitude of the raid having no success whatsoever. So, I hope y'all have enjoyed this show today. We will do a show next week, and I will post the topic of it, and I hope y'all have a great week, and I have other shows from the past that are open to be heard, so y'all have a great day. Thank you.